Hi, and welcome to On the Exodus, New Data, New Discoveries, the 26th chapter series. We're on chapter R, the 18th. This is Jack Aiken. At this point in our ongoing discussion, we find that the Israelites, hemmed in by the mountains on the west, rough terrain on the north and south, and the Gulf of Aqaba Red Sea extension on the east, are encamped on the vast Nuweiba beachhead with nowhere to go except to return via the wadi from which they came. So now we look at Exodus 14:9, where it is recorded, "Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh." It is recorded thusly that the Egyptians, upon overtaking the Israelites, quote, "seized on the passages by which they imagined the Hebrews might fly, shutting them in between inaccessible precipices and the sea. For there was on each side of the ridge of mountains that terminated at the sea, which were impassable by reason of their roughness, and obstructed their flight. Wherefore they pressed upon the Hebrews with all their army." End quote. Now Moses didn't know what to do. The people wanted to kill him. Moses looked to God for deliverance, and thus we have the immortal words from Exodus 14:13, where God says to Moses, "Stand still and witness the salvation of the Lord." Then, according to Exodus 14, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept back the sea and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided. What a dramatic image this report creates in the mind and heart. At this point, the reasonable mind would look for some indications of such a monumental set of occurrences as those associated with the parting of a body of water hundreds of feet deep, the crossing on a dry seafloor of millions of Israelites, and the destruction of an Egyptian army, even though it occurred so very long ago. Next chapter, we'll look at some undersea investigations conducted in the seafloor area extending from the Nuweiba Peninsula. And until then, thanks for listening. This is Jack Aiken.